This is Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Doors are open. Sibling rivalry is on the table. Maybe you can relate. Sibling rivalry. You know, when I say that, what comes to mind? Do you think immediately of your children, or do you think of maybe sibling rivalry between you and one of your brothers or sisters? What is it you wrestle with? What's a rivalry going on in your family between siblings, maybe you and your sibling, that you want to work on? I want to help you. I've got ideas that you can do to be intentional. I want to know what it is. Would you share it with me? Let's go. Give me a call. Sibling rivalry. What does that bring up in your heart today, in your mind? 888-888-1717.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a conference speaker and coach, and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open, so call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
All right, thank you. Sibling rivalry. Right at the top of the list of 1, 2, 3, right at the top of the list of frustrations for parents, I will say this, competitive kids tend to have a competitive parent or competitive family. So what is it? It may not be with your kids, and they could even be all grown up, or it could be they're still home, or maybe with you and your sibling. Come and join us. Wendy says on Facebook and Twitter here, she says, and we asked the question, what's kind of the silly things that arguments that go on with your kids? Wendy says, they come home and they say that the other one used all the gas in the car. But we pay for the gas, so what are they fighting about? Ryan says, everything, capital letters, everything is competition. First to the bathroom, first to the van, first to the door, first to the room, first to the supper table, first to take a bath, first to get their clothes on, so on, so on, so on. Got to be first. Ann says, it's not fair. I tell them life is not fair. Get over it. That's true. Ann, I like you. I like you a lot. That's a lot of truth there. What is it about the competition that goes on with sibling rivalry? Boy, do we see that. You know, you can even see that in Scripture. I mean, I wasn't thinking, I was just kidding, like Esau and Jacob, right? Rachel and Leah, we were just talking about Jacob in the room. I just did a lesson on in-laws, you know, how to be intentional with in-laws. I taught, it's going to come up in June for our members, watch for it. But I was saying, well, how would you like to be Jacob with the father-in-law he had? Talk about, you know, sibling rivalry between Rachel and Leah. Where else do we see that in Scripture? I think it's a human condition. But I'll say to you as a parent, if you have a challenge with a sibling rivalry, it often comes right back to our own selves in terms of, are we in an environment where there's competition? Are we letting the kids get it to us with it's not fair? And we're constantly trying to make things fair and equal, because life isn't fair. Things aren't equal. Kids are different. And when we get into the fairness trap, it really gets us. So when we think sibling rivalry, what is one thing that you wrestle with sibling rivalry? I'd love to hear it. 888-888-1717. Let's go.
The older one has significant learning disabilities and is causing a lot of friction between the two of them because she doesn't want the younger one to outdo her in anything.
When I'm working with my kids, I have that structure and I have that no not to mess with me.
My parents were very gender biased. I'm the oldest of five, and my younger brothers had later curfews, were given more freedom, so that really did create some heartache between us. And irreparable harm in the relationship. It bothers me that everything that they do is a competition.
Wow. You know, I wrote a book a number of years ago called The Cain and Abel Syndrome, How to Get Along with Your Adult Siblings, and really focused on this thing of things aren't fair, but how you parent and what goes on in your home, you're setting your sons and daughters up for later in life to learn how to, you know, get along with people. Unfortunately, sometimes adult children don't get along with each other because they didn't learn to get along when they're at home. Many times because mom and dad would jump in and fix things too quickly, solve all the problems, wouldn't tolerate any disagreement. and made fairness a great big, you know, goal. And so kids started to see life in terms of what's fair and not fair, which isn't good. Sonia's on the line in New Mexico. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Appreciate your call today. What's your question?
Thank you. Well, I have a 3- and a 5-year-old, mm-hmm. and they're constantly competing for my attention.
How do they do that? What does it look like?
They act naughty. They interrupt each other. They fight with each other. I give attention to one. The other one gets upset. They just can't seem to share my attention.
Mm-hmm. So when you're giving attention to one, the other one gets to be naughty.
Right.
And then what does the child do that you're paying attention to?
He gets upset at the other child.
Yeah. Okay. So they kind of know how to push the buttons to make this happen, don't they?
Exactly.
With each other. And so getting mom's attention, and, you know, obviously that's what all kids want. They want mom's attention. What
right.
do you do? What do you do when they do that?
Well, I kind of ask the other child to, you know, be patient and they'll get their turn, but then they get upset and nothing gets accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just kind of like this cycle of one gets mad, the other one gets mad, and everybody's mad.
And then it kind of erupts into, you know, arguing, and then just a vicious cycle keeps going around and around.
Yes. And then they fight with each other, and, you know, it just seems like the naughtiness seems to continue from there.
Mm-hmm. And you said they're 2 years apart, 3 and 5, right?
3 and 5.
3 and 5, yeah. A boy, girl?
Yes, the boy's the oldest, and the little one is the youngest.
Uh-huh.
Sophia's the youngest.
And see, as a single mom, you're tired, you got a lot going on, and that even makes it more stressful.
Yeah, very
yeah.
much so.
You don't have the tag team approach to hand off and say, hey, it's your turn. You know, you've got to do it all by yourself. A couple things. This is not untypical when you get kids, especially when they're closer in age. You get out 4 or 5 years apart, the rivalry is a little different, and they start to be like a birth order all over again. But when they're just a couple years apart, you know, it's like they're right there in the same age, close enough, that mom's attention really is a big deal. I think you're heading in the right direction, Sonia. I think maybe you just need to do less explaining in terms of, well, I'll come to you later, and I'll, you know, and then we start debating and discussing what's fair, and we're going to get equal time, and have consequences for this. In other words, I would sit down with those two, and I know they're young, but explain to them, look, mom has time with each of you. We're going to do things together, and we do things together. The more things you can do together, that builds cooperation. But if we can't get along, both of you are going to have to go to timeout, or both of you are going to have to go to your room until we can cooperate with each other. But I think setting up a plan, Sonia, where you're not talking so much, explaining so much, trying to, you know, get to them as almost an adult to explain how you're going to separate your time, and just take that parental intentional action that when they're starting to act up with each other, it's over. You say, fine, that's it. You don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to yell. It's over. You're in your room. You're in your room, or you're in the room together, because you need to work it out if they can do that. But I'm done. And when the both of you are ready to come back and we can, you know, do some fun things together, cooperate together, that's going to be a good thing. Secondly, I think the more you can do together, the better, as long as they can cooperate with each other. But when you need to do one thing with one child, the other one needs to learn to be patient. And if they can't, then that's the timeout. That's a consequence. Less words, more action, Sonia. I hope that helps. Today we're talking about sibling rivalry. You know, it could happen with your kids, but I guess I'd ask the question, do you still have a rivalry with a son or daughter, I mean a brother or sister, who may live across the country? What does that look like? What does adult sibling rivalry look like? And with whom is that? And how did that develop? And how does that feel? 888-888-1717, sibling rivalry in focus today from Intentional Living.
Hi, my name is Michelle. I have a twin sister named Sean, and I have been praying about becoming intentional with my twin sister. She is anorexic, and I have had a few bumps along the way trying to help her. For a while, I was ignoring her because I don't get the anorexia thing. But God has been laying it on my heart to try and help her. She lives thousands of miles away, but I still try to talk to her every day. She has been anorexic for about 16, 17 years. And my mother just passed away, and she had made a promise to my mother before she passed away that she would eat better, take care of herself. And I feel that I want to become intentional to help her. Thanks.
You know, God bless you. My thought is that you're the type of person that wants to fix things and you want to make things better. And this is often the case in a family. You may have multiple siblings, and usually there's at least one caretaker. There's one that has learned to be the one to make sure everything is okay with everybody. They're the ones that make sure if there's a problem, they're the ones that feel the pain. If there's an event and everybody has to get together, they're the one that makes sure it happens. If there's an issue with mom and dad and there's a concern, they're the one that gets the family together and tries to resolve it. Usually families have that one kind of emotional officer, chief, you know, emotional officer. The problem is that we can absorb things that we can't change. And we can get too involved in things that we'd like to see different, things that we would like to see better, but we can't make it better. We can't change it. And I think when we think about our own children, one of the reasons intentional living teaches and has for many years, pick your battles carefully when it comes to parenting. Don't jump in and rescue your kids. Some of the things that we say in our classes that we teach on parenting, don't do for your kids things that they can do for themselves, because when you do that, you weaken them. Every time your kids are disagreeing with each other, if you jump in and resolve it or stop it, they never learn to resolve things themselves. If your kids can learn to have disagreements and even reasonable arguments and resolve things, and then you can come along and guide them, you're teaching them how, as they get older, to resolve differences when they're adults. There are some, and maybe it's you, and you think about now, you don't know how to resolve a problem with your adult son or brother or sister because you didn't learn how to communicate and resolve things when you were kids. And that pattern continues. That's why when our kids are at home, allowing them to interact with each other and disagree with each other and communicate with each other and resolve issues without us stepping in all the time, and we're there to nurture and train, that's part of being intentional in helping to build the next generation. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs 22:6, to train a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. Building that platform when they're young, helping them establish their relationships when they're young, becomes sort of a process and a pattern for them as they get older. So what is the one thing in sibling rivalry, either with your adult brother or sister, or between your kids, that drives you up the wall or hurts you deeply? 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. When you join our Facebook family, you'll find a lot of encouragement and insight. There'll be questions for the radio program, and you may even find someone to pray for. We had asked the question, what is the toughest challenge you face as a parent? And Tammy said, raising them up in the way they should go, and having to let them decide if it's the way they will go. Join our Facebook family today at theintentionallife.com/Facebook. And when you do, pray for one another. Coming up, Dr. Randy's got more to help you deal with sibling rivalry. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
You would think twice before taking on a debt of $286,000, wouldn't you?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your Intentional Stewardship Coach.
Well, millions of Americans do just that every year. Some of them more than once. But I'm not talking about a mortgage. $286,000 is what it costs for a typical family to raise a child from birth to age 18, according to a government study. Of course, the value of a single child far surpasses all the treasure in the world. And what would it be worth, really, if you could break the cycle of poverty, abuse, and neglect that is the fate of so many children? You can, through the miracle of adoption. Maybe for you, radical stewardship is not just about money, but changing the life of a child today and generations to come. For Intentional Living, I'm Rod Robison.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
Becoming a monthly member of Intentional Living is important because you're helping Dr. Randy Carlson take the message of this ministry to others who need it. Becoming a member is critical because you keep us on the air every day. And when you become a member, you help yourself because we'll send you a practical, biblical teaching on CD from Dr. Carlson every month, a benefit enjoyed only by our monthly members. Become a member of Intentional Living today. Call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to our Intentional Living Center today. We're talking about sibling rivalry, big issue in many families. And you know, I'm the youngest of three boys, and my brothers are like 6 years and 11 years older, so I'm the youngest. So in many ways, we're like three only kids. I mean, my brother Warren, who's 11 years older, by the time I can remember him, he was just about ready to leave for college. I can remember him in his teen years, late teen years. And so being that much younger, I was just sort of a nuisance, you know, a necessary nuisance around the house. Fortunately, I lived through that period. I actually survived. But I think that the rivalry part can, you know, can happen, especially as the ages get closer because of the competition and the expectations and so on and the same age. When we think about sibling rivalry, it does come back to competition. And I have found that when we have competitive kids, really competitive with each other, I always try to find out which one of the parents or both that are tend to be pretty competitive themselves. Competitive kids have competitive parents, and in the process, boy, that can create the tension. So what is it? I mean, what's that one thing that you wrestle with, maybe with your adults, siblings, or with your kids, and how can I help? 888-888-1717.
They are just nitpicking over the most simplest things, and I'm about to lose all of my hair.
She believes that I love him more because she's feeling that he is loved more.
When they are in the vehicle with me, there is no respect for me. There is no respect for each other's bodies, no respect for, you know, like you were just saying, you know, no name calling.
One of my brothers, my younger brother, not so much, but the one that was 18 months younger than me, we are still estranged and we're both in our 40s.
But my children, the only word that I can describe my four boys are, and I mean even my two-year-old, is bullies.
Hey, you know, when you share your stories with us, you know, you tell us what's going on and you tell us how you're interacting and what's happening. We appreciate hearing from you at 888-888-1717. Sometimes you leave questions with us, you know, and when you do, getting a chance to answer those is always something we love to do as well.
Hi, Dr. Randy. You talked today on your program about having a strong-willed child, and you said that parents who have strong-willed children should be a little bit more lax and pick and choose your battles wisely. And I feel like I do that, but my question is, how do you do that and stay fair to your compliant children? Because sometimes I feel when I'm being a little bit lax with him, she picks up on that and sees that you are letting him slip by and letting him get away with things, and then she feels put out whenever she gets in trouble for things that she's doing that she understands is wrong. Thank you very much for your program, and have a great day. Thanks.
All right. That's good, but I got to clarify something. You probably heard, you heard or thought you heard me say lax. I would never say lax. That's not a word I would ever use in parenting. I don't think parents are ever designed or intended to be lax. Lax would imply, I'm just going to let things slide. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to just cover my eyes and assume I didn't see it or hear it. I think what I really say is sometimes we can have parents that are more uptight and they jump in on everything. And if you've got a strong-willed child, you'll be constantly on their case. I think what we have to do is pick our battles carefully. And when you got a strong-willed child, what happens is they become the attention of everything in the family becomes about them. And when we give all the attention to one child, the other kids can become resentful, because everything is about this one kid, about their brother, for instance. So I wouldn't suggest you be lax. What I would suggest is you pick your battles carefully and realize not everyone needs to be picked. Sometimes you can divert your children into other activities. Sometimes you can simply ignore something. You know, it's something you just don't have to jump in on. It's going to go away. But when you do need to pick a battle, when you do need to step in, be consistent when you do, and be consistent in how you follow through. Consistent meaning that there's going to be a consequence. I would add, though, and I've seen this in families, you may have this compliant child, and then you have this strong-willed child. I have observed that the compliant child sometimes is more passive and aggressively compliant than you realize. In other words, the compliant child sometimes knows how to push the button on that strong-willed child to set them off. They've got a short fuse. And in those cases, when you know that the compliant child is also responsible, in other words, they're playing a piece in this problem, make sure you discipline them both. Not just one. Because when you do that, you know, then the strong-willed child says, well, that's not fair. And, of course, fairness isn't the goal. We're talking today about sibling rivalry. And it's, you know, it happens. It happens from the very beginning of the book in the Bible of Cain and Abel. The very first two boys had sibling rivalry. And, of course, we see the result of that. But sibling rivalry is as old as time. It goes back to the very beginning of time. It's a part of feeling accepted, you know, with Cain and Abel, feeling accepted with their offerings before God. You know, this competition is just wired into us. And the less we can be, the less competition we can put in a family, the better off it's going to be. All right, Billy Joe is on the line. Welcome, Billy Joe. Appreciate your call.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Talk to me. What's your question on sibling rivalry?
I just would like to know, back in 2008, my mother passed away. My sister at that time, he just was awful during that time, through the whole funeral process and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been estranged from her ever since.
Hmm.
And would like to know what you would suggest on how to try to get through that, because I've been really struggling with that, and I have forgave her, but I just choose not to be a part of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to really, like, process it all and get through it to be a part of her life, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, there's much more, I'm sure, to the story than we have time for, but I think a couple of basic principles here. For you, Billy Joe, or Joe, is that, you know, you've gone from 2008 to now, so basically about 7-8 years with being estranged. And I always say that weddings, funerals, major family crises bring out whatever's good in a family or whatever's bad in a family. It's like a tea bag in cold water is different than tea bag in hot water. And you put it in hot water, it draws out what's in it. And sometimes that's what happens. So you had this kind of focal point estrangement that occurred at the funeral. Whatever was there, all the garbage came out, and now you don't know what to do with it. If that were my sister, I would reach out to her. Now, again, I don't know the whole story. If there's some things you need to keep some boundaries in place, and you need to be healthy in those boundaries and so on, obviously you need to do that. But I would open the door to start a conversation with your sister. I mean, you guys are sisters. You're going to, you know, one of you, when you pass, is going to be at the other's funeral. And I just think it's important to try to keep short accounts. And it may begin with a card. It may begin with a, you know, an email. It may begin with a phone call that just says, I'm thinking of you on a birthday, or I found something in a book that I thought you'd be interested in. I send it to you just to say I was thinking of you today. I think just to begin to open that up a little bit in terms of developing a relationship, and from there, see what happens. But I would take it one step at a time, because really damaged relationships, sometimes they don't get healed, and sometimes the expectations are never going to be met, and you have to grieve the loss. But I would certainly make the attempt to make it work. Today, what I'd like to talk about are 10 things to help us grow through change in our life. Number one is we have to accept it. It's a reality. And so if you want to write down accept it, because you know not everybody does. We live in a time when it seems like people want to defy change. We don't like to accept the fact that we're changing. The very moment that a sperm and an egg came together and the process of life began, and the separation of one cell into two and two into four and four into eight and eight into 16, the change process began at that moment and will continue in your life and my life until the moment that we take our last breath. And in our culture, however, we have this ability to deny that change is occurring. That's lifted right from the teaching for the month of April that has gone out and been received by all of our Intentional Living monthly members on the topic growing through change. What we do here is I teach, and we have our teaching center and our staff, and I get a chance to teach, and then we share that teaching exclusively with our members only every month. And this month it's on the topic of growing through change. I've just started a series on high-stake relationships. I did a recording yesterday that's going to come out in July on the topic of how to be intentional or intentional living with your adult children. And also I did one today on intentional living for in-laws. And we're going to have a series every month and all of our members receiving all of my teaching. It's our way of saying thank you for your support. So, members, watch for the ongoing teaching. Thank you for your ongoing support. We're glad to be a part of your life as a community here at Intentional Living. And we welcome, with the doors are open, to welcome you to come and join us if you're not. Your monthly support will make a difference. You can join today by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on the donate button, the green button up at the top there, and come and join us. We'd love to have you be a part of the program. Appreciate it. James 4:1 is a great verse to close the program with today on this topic. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? And boy, I'll tell you, it's those passions that can get us into trouble in sibling rivalry. I'm Randy Carlson. For Rob and Sally and Stephen, the rest of the team, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time here at the Intentional Living Center. If you haven't been to our website, a lot of good stuff there for you. Check it out, theintentionallife.com. Take the 30-day challenge. Tell us what you think. See you next time.